Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I've never been better. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Good. Glad to hear it. Did you have a good weekend?
Not bad at all. You?
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I mean, it got cold yesterday, but...
It did.
Other than that, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Went by fast, and here we are. You know, your boy had his...
He did a play over the weekend. Three of them. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He did good, and it was great.
And he's been nominated for... Is it a Tony?
An Academy Award.
I think it's Tony's for the stage, right?
Yeah.
Emmys for TV and Academy Awards for movies.
Yep.
I don't know. Do you have to actually be on Broadway to be considered for a Tony?
I don't know. If there's an off-Broadway
award. He did good.
He did. It was, you know.
Is it like a tearjerker sort of a play?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a comedy.
Okay.
Shakespeare abridged, right?
Right, yeah. They do like, it's like...
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting this is the one that he's doing.
It's supposed to be like three people, and they're going to break a record and do every Shakespeare play in one night.
Okay.
And they got like an hour and a half to do it.
Okay.
And that's it.
And he had a huge part.
Well, it's only three people.
Yeah, so I mean, they're equal, 33%?
Yeah. All three are in the whole time.
Okay. How long is it?
Hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes.
Just up there for an hour and a half? There's no, like, intermission or...
There's one towards the... So, at the end, kind of the deal is they, like, oh, we did them all.
Yeah.
And they're like, we didn't do Hamlet. And then they're like, I hate Hamlet. It's so horrible.
Okay.
And then, so they take an intermission, and they come back and do Hamlet.
Okay.
That's a lot of lines to remember.
That's what I thought, too. Like, I see him reading that book, I'm like, Jesus, man.
Right, how do you do it? Do you put it to music? I mean, because it's not like he's had forever to prepare for this thing.
Well, they practice it in class.
Yeah, they practice it in class, but, I mean, look, maybe they were talking about it long before you told me that they were talking about it.
Right.
It didn't seem like that long ago, even if they'd had all year.
There was a point.
An hour and a half of just memorizing lines.
There was a point, like, 3 weeks ago where he's like, you're not going to have to push this back.
Because people didn't have their lines memorized.
I don't even know what I'm doing. I have no idea. And then all of a sudden, like, 3 days before, I'm like, are you ready? He's like, yeah, we got it. We'll be fine. I'm like,
so weird. That's not the kind of thing you'd think you could just crunch for and be like, all right, I got to do this. I guess I put it off. Right. Put this off, but I really need to memorize my lines, so I've got a couple nights. It's like, no, dude, you're going to have to start
working. And you're doing like all these different versions. It's not like one thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
We were just talking about the adolescent
show. They rap in it and stuff. And, like,
I mean, that kid memorized, you know, lines for half an hour scene. You got an hour and a half here with three kids.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I don't think I ever saw one of our school's plays when I was there. We all had to take, well, I don't know if we had to, but you took theater as like an elective.
We had to take drama. I took
maybe
drama.
That's what it was. Okay. And it was the theater teacher.
I was in Greece.
Okay. And it was like one that they did after school? Like an actual play? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, no. I never did that.
I had to do that.
That was part of your drama class, not just being...
I don't know if I made to do that, but I did it for whatever reason.
Okay. Yeah, because we did
but I didn't do a
class,
very big part. You know what I mean? I think maybe people were doing it and they were like, do you want to do this? And I was like, sure. Give me the smallest part. Whatever. I'll do it. You got maybe an extra grade or something, but I don't know.
But the drama kids, that's like a. That's a separate thing, like playing a sport, right? Like, you choose that you want to be in drama and you stay after school.
I think you could take the class, but I don't think you have to be in the plays.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think you could take drama and not be in a play. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's what I did. I know I only did it for a semester. But none of us in that classroom were, quote-unquote, real drama students. We weren't theater kids. Like,
right.
We weren't theater kids, whatever that means. I thought theater was like a thing that you went and you said, I'm going to do this, and it's kind of like playing a sport.
It is.
And it's an extra
practice, and you go after school. And,
yeah,
you know,
stay after, and then like, this is the play we're going to be
feels
working
feels like
on.
It's all usually the same 15, 20 kids.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's like a team, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back, you see all the celebrities who
did it.
Doing some sort of bio about them, and you see their early days, and there's always videos of them in a high school play.
And Letterman, you know, my guest needs no introduction. It feels like whenever he goes with, like, Clooney or someone, they always go back to their high school, and they're like, oh, so this is where you did whatever. They always do it.
Yeah, you see it all the time. So this is it. This is the beginning for him. This is his calling, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, does he like it?
Yeah, he seems to.
But I mean, does he really like it? Like, is he like, you know, I could see myself maybe wanting to act.
I think he's kind of in that spot where he's like, you know, I don't know, when I play baseball, do I theater, do I travel Europe? My mother made the horrible thing. He was like, I thought maybe I'd just travel Europe when I graduate high school. And she's like, well, I'll pay for it.
Oh, your mom told him that?
I'm like,
oh, well,
Jesus,
good.
Mother.
Now, why would he do anything else?
Me that.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's here, you know? We've had a week of baseball now. I mean, this has been a full week, I guess not. But we're now entering the second week of baseball, and I would say the biggest story, easily the biggest story, is the Yankees and what's happening with the Yankees. Now, for one, you can just look at the Yankees' record and look at how many runs they've been putting up. In total, I mean, they played the Brewers, right? That was the first series. And, you know, the first game, okay, Yankees win 4-2. No biggie. Second game, Yankees win 20-9. You don't see that every day. 20-9.
That's a baseball score?
That's a baseball score. And then yesterday it was 12-3. So the Yankees it's one series. It's one team. I don't know anything about the Brewers. Probably
right,
not
be that good.
Not
they
a World Series favorite.
Stadium. It's small.
Yeah.
But still, that's a lot.
It's a lot of runs.
You see New York City had they brought in that old subway you could ride to the stadium?
No, I didn't see that.
They brought in this subway train that's like a replica of the 1917 subway train, so people
I
could get on it and ride it to Yankee Stadium. Was really
okay. That's
cool.
Pretty cool. I have to look up pictures of that. I did not see that.
Yeah.
But I have seen that the Yankees have 15 runs, home runs, in their first three games. Which, when I saw that number, like I said earlier, I was confused when I first saw the stat. I was like, "Who has 15 runs? How is this possible?" But for a team to have 15 runs in the first three games, I would think automatically that has to be a record. You can't have that many home runs.
Well,
in,
I know
in just
they
three games.
Tied,
but instead it's a tie.
Their
yeah.
home run record
for in right. like 1901.
Right.
So you go, okay, I guess you know baseball is just it's an old enough sport that sometimes that stuff does happen. Because certainly I would have guessed that that would have been a record. 15
sure.
home runs, three games, got to be a record. But it's not just that they got 15 home runs; it's that. Some of these home runs have been hit using an all-new bat.
Yes.
And they're calling it the Torpedo. And the whole story behind this bat, I think it's interesting at least, because it's designed by this MIT guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is figuring out a way to try and improve the baseball bat
sure.
while making sure that it still falls within the rules put out by the organization,
right.
by Major League Baseball. Because you have a certain length, width, you know, all that stuff, weight. And so it has to fall into all those categories correctly. It has to, you know, follow the rules. But the interesting thing, too, is that these bats are custom. And I think all of them are custom. I think he makes them custom based
on
each player.
All of them are? Okay. Yeah, everybody gets their own custom bat.
So they made a point of saying that, but I guess that makes sense that all of them would be custom. If you see these guys holding the bat, if you just watch an at-bat and you look up at the bat, you can see it looks different.
It does.
I'm not saying it doesn't look comical, but you go, oh, that bat
it's
looks
different. Sure.
If I had not known about it and I looked at it, I might have just thought, did they switch like the rules for the bats this year? It looks a little different. Of course, I immediately think back to like the corked bat stuff. And
sure. Well,
all
I think everybody sees this bat and they go, wow, that's cheating.
It must be cheating.
Because we're just not used to it.
It must be cheating. Because
right.
how can you have 15 home runs in three games? It just doesn't seem possible.
To bat! To bat!
15 home runs in their first three games.
The most runs scored by a major league team through three games since 1901. They had bats made up where they moved a lot of the wood into the label, so the harder part of the bat is going to actually strike the ball.
The new one designed by a former MIT physicist turned Yankees minor league hitting coach. Each is custom made based on player preferences.
I don't know. My favorite part of the story might be that this MIT physicist became a minor league hitting coach.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
It's perfect. You know, you're like, what do you do? I study physics. You know, I'm a master
right.
of physics. Went to MIT studying physics. What could you do with that? Well, you could do a lot of things with that, but one of those things is you could help someone hit a baseball.
Yeah, there's a million different ways to hit a baseball.
Well,
and
we talked about it last week.
Guys have,
how their stances have changed over the years.
Yeah, and guys have all these different ways. Like, there's this guy who's on the internet. Everybody argues with him, and they hate him. His name's Teacherman.
Somebody your son has watched, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course, and we've watched. But his, and he's like, somebody on the Tigers coach and Aaron Judge's coach. But he teaches, like, you take the bat. It's hard to explain, but just if you hold your hands like you're holding a bat, right? You flip it down first and then swing.
Mm,
and it's like okay. this flip and go thing. And, like, old baseball gurus lose their goddamn mind over
it.
Oh, and this guy's like, you know, 65 years old, chubby little white guy, you know, like he's, in his videos, they're like, and people are like, you don't know what you're talking about. You
Does
know?
Anyone use it though?
Aaron Judge
uses it.
Right.
Okay, I mean,
but then he'll be like, look, you guys say nobody uses this, but here, watch. Here's Shohei Ohtani. I've never talked to him, but he's doing exactly what I taught him to do. What I say to do, only I'm so. Anyway, with the bat, it's just like, so people are always trying to figure out what's the best way to swing. And then the bat thing, what I thought was interesting was it was built for Volpe. And Volpe, a player on the Yankees, they've realized, because they do all this studying, that he kept hitting the ball. He was getting jammed all the time. And he kept hitting the ball on the label. And that's why they say that. So apparently this guy at MIT was like, well, why don't we just make the bat stronger at the label? Instead of trying to change his swing, like I'm talking about, right? Instead of trying to change everything, and here in Kansas City, we've heard it, MJ Melendez completely changed his swing in the offseason. When I hear that, I think, oh, boy.
Right, because you've been practicing your whole life to get
right,
to this point.
And really? Like, I can't imagine. I know how hard it is to hit a baseball, and I think if you were to try to change everything, well, do you start in the big leagues again, or do you go back and
right.
have to refine this swing, right?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that. Everybody seems to be excited about it. When I heard it, I thought, oh, man, I don't love the sounds of that. Well, guys have done it and been successful, but when I heard they're like, well, why don't we just make the bat stronger where this guy hits the ball, I was like, well,
yeah.
Now that makes sense, right? Like, don't change anything, man.
And
when you hit the ball, the label now, it's going to be a home run. I'm like, well, that, now we're talking. And basically, that's what they did.
And not, I mean, speaking of Aaron Judge, he doesn't use it, right? So not every Yankees player has chosen to use the bat. Aaron Judge said, like, you know, I'm hitting with, you know, my bat the way that I hit, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to change anything, you know, kind of with the smirk. So they're not all using it, but there are players who are. And obviously you have to assume that it's had an impact when you see 15 home runs in three games. And if MLB is looking to make baseball more exciting, all these things, they're always trying to make it more exciting. They're trying to make the game a little bit shorter. They want new fans. Well, if you're hitting 15 runs and 15 home runs in three games,
people love
then
home runs.
You're doing something right. And I would think that Major League Baseball, normally an organization not known for being real open to a lot of change, in an instance like this, might be like, yeah, look, if it's following the rules, we love it.
Right.
But, you know, how do we get more of these bats? Maybe we need more people. And I don't know, Lazo, you could say that, look, it might only work for 2% of the players in baseball. I don't know.
If you're, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. and you're hitting the ball well, I wouldn't switch my bat, just like I wouldn't switch my swing.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, I'm already hitting the ball well. But if you're a guy who's struggling, or, you know, they video everything, they know everything, like baseball's such a statistic video breakdown thing, there's probably somebody on the Royals where they're like, yeah, man, you get jammed all the time.
Here's who can use it.
Why don't you go grab this bat? Also, this guy from MIT is about to make a gazillion dollars. The other thing is that every kid who plays travel baseball and his parents spend thousands of dollars on baseball gear is going to want the torpedo bat. Yeah. They want it already. One of my kids is like, as soon as it comes out, we got to get the torpedo bat. I'm like, what? What?
Right.
Why?
You don't even know if it's going to help you.
Right. Do they make them out of metal? We don't even what the hell's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But all those wood bat tournaments, I guarantee you, as soon as it's possible, you'll see kids out there with a torpedo bat.
Well, do you
think they already make like a bomb bat that you can play in wood tournaments, but it's not really wood? I don't know anything about it, but
okay, well, do you think that there's a good chance? Obviously, there's a chance. I think there's a good chance that we look back on these first few games later on in the season and go, oh, well, that was a bit of an anomaly. It must have been the Brewers pitching or something like that. You know, yeah, they hit 15 home runs, but they haven't been able to sustain that kind of craziness for an 800 and however many home run season.
Well, like everything.
But they have hit a lot of just runs.
I know, but like everything, if I'm a pitcher, at some point they knew, I have to guess, because the pitchers have all the stats too. So at some point, the pitcher's probably like, this Volpe dude. Man, jam him, and he hits crappy ground balls to the shortstop,
right? So that's what we do.
So now the pitcher's probably like, well, he got that new bat, so now I'm just going to throw him low and away.
Right.
Hit it with the small end of the bat now. Like, I feel like that, you know.
They can adjust.
They can adjust. It's like the pitchers, it seems like this story has made it like, this bat's going to change everything, and the pitchers won't adjust. If I'm a pitcher, I'm like, well, I'm not going to throw it inside you because you got that stupid bat. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess my thing is, are they all shaped similarly? I know they say that they're custom. I thought that when looking at a couple of them, they looked fairly different.
They're all, well, they're different sizes, right? But I think they all have to be within this certain parameter.
They do. They say
they have to weigh
the
certain amount.
Length, whatever.
Right, whatever.
But it's like where it puts the bulge on the back.
That's where they changed. So they didn't add any weight to it. They just moved it
that
down.
Bulge.
Right.
And so they didn't, not all torpedoes have moved the bulge into the same spot. I don't think. Maybe they did.
I thought it was just in where the logo is, but maybe not. Maybe they're all different.
I don't know. Just the way that, you know, when
I mean,
they get custom bat,
every person just changed the sweet spot on the bat for every person. That would be.
I probably misunderstood. I guess thinking, you know, when they showed them, I thought they sort of looked different, but maybe it was because they were different colored bats and it's an optical illusion. I don't know. And also, when they talk about making a bat custom for a player, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're saying, okay, where do you want, now that we're making a torpedo bat, where do you want the bulge of this label? Where do you want the center of this, you know, mass to be here?
Right.
It's not the same as corking a bat. The point
is that
this wouldn't automatically make
also,
everyone a better hitter.
Also, studies say that corking doesn't really help.
Okay.
So, who knows? I mean,
really?
I don't think it would, but
So, I don't even know what the example would be. So, using something that would make it a lot easier to hit home runs, whether that's a metal bat, whatever it is.
A metal bat, for sure.
it's not the same as that. It's right. It's just, it's not. You've got guys who are already struggling, like you said. If you're getting jammed, then this is the bat for you. Yeah. Well, boom. But as you pointed out, the pitchers can adjust to that. So
I would think they would.
I saw the number. It's like 800 and some home runs that they're, you know, on course right now for. But I don't think that we should expect that to keep up. It's just when you, I know it's just three games out of so many. When right. you look at those run totals and you go,
well, the change is coming. I mean, they will figure it out. And if you're a guy, you know, they'll figure out. I mean, if you could change the sweet spot on your bat, that's really what you're doing. So that's more comfortable for you than even if the pitchers adjust, it's got to help.
But so you don't think that there's a good chance that even if you're already hitting pretty well, that you don't go, I want to try that thing and maybe hit even better?
I think. It's really for in the next people. Month, every MLB team will have torpedo bats, and they'll at least be taking batting practice with them and figuring it out, and then analyzing your swing and figuring out if that's going to be better for you or not, and guys will figure it out. I mean, wasn't that long ago. I don't think there's any in Major League Baseball. I don't even know it's allowed. But, you know, younger, at least they have the axe bat.
Okay.
And that's you hold it like it's an axe handle and swing it like that. It changes your grip, so... You know, it's not like the first time they've tried to figure out how to switch a bat to make you hit better.
Well, when this company goes public, remind me, because I'd like to learn something. Because your kids will be buying them. Everyone will be buying these things.
Every parent who has a kid in travel baseball, when that bat, everybody started talking about it, went, yeah.
Of course.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
The news.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole third term.
You know what?
What?
Wait. Before you get into the news real quick,
uh-huh.
I want to talk to you about something that happened last week.
Okay.
And, you know, if that runs into the news, then I apologize.
No worries.
You did a list of greatest Royals players ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's really weird. You know, Bobby Witt's not on it. Mike Moustakas isn't on it. Eric Hosmer isn't on it. Yordano Ventura isn't on it. Bo Jackson. Well... there was a list of people. I guess Bo Jackson was on, but there a list of people.
No, one of them, Jackson, wasn't
okay,
on.
Okay, but it was a list, and I was, you know.
And it had Mike Sweeney at 13?
Well, the list came out in 2011.
Well, I mixed some lists together.
Someone sent it to me and said, the list he's talking about is from Bleacher Report 2011.
I mixed
13 years ago.
I mixed some lists together because...
What the
The list that I had, you wouldn't have trusted the source. So I needed a reputable source.
A reputable source of 13 years ago? Well, like, let me tell you about who the presidents are. But it's a list from 1984?
Well, no, because it was the older players that were missing. And on that list
Hosmer.
On that list from...
Bobby Witt.
But those older players that weren't showing up, that list was from 2011 or 12 or whatever. They didn't have Bo Jackson on that list. So I needed a reputable source, so I said, you know, it's Bleacher Report, and found one from Bleacher Report. And
from 2011?
Yeah, it was the last time they did one. I just mixed one in there. I guess, you know, they don't keep
it was
up with the Royals.
14 years ago, man.
I know, but you're talking greatest all time anyway. So I had the newer one. I had a couple newer ones, and I had the one that the people voted on, which, you know, isn't really the same. But I needed a reputable source, so I threw in the Bleacher Report.
Don't you think that's... pertinent information as I'm over here going, man, I can't believe.
Well, I was still shocked that Bo Jackson wasn't on
Lorenzo Cain
the Bleacher Report
there.
List. It was crazy.
I'm shocked.
And that Mike Sweeney
Alex
was there.
Alex Gordon's not on there. I'm shocked.
Gordon was on there.
Don't you think it's some of the...
Yeah.
That would have been pertinent information as to this list?
Yeah. But I mentioned, if you noticed, I did mention newer players because I was mixing in the newer list. That's why I mentioned Salvi. And yeah. So, anyhow...
2011. Look, you know, you get a list from 2011.
You don't want to look at how the sausage is made. It's just what is the final product.
That's
final
not
product
sausage.
It was sausage. Sure it was.
It's a list from 2007.
Yeah, I needed.
That means
I needed a reputable
14
source.
14 years of baseball players not on it.
14 years. I never would have thought it was that long. But I suppose you're right. It has been 14 years. But the other lists presumably were newer than that. And, you know, I just needed one that had a reputable source. So I told you that it was all Bleacher Report.
You should have told me it was from 2011.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, mixing lists together to begin with. And again.
Okay.
I was just trying to make it.
Let's try not to do that.
Just trying to make it reputable. That's all I was trying to do. And I knew. And it works because when I said Bleacher Report, you went, Bleacher Report? Really? And I was like, I know.
And I thought, because Bleacher Report, is wrong with Bleacher
I know.
Report?
Well, why didn't they put Bo Jackson on there? It's the damnedest thing. I don't get it. That part stands. Now, the Hosmer thing, you know, they didn't have a crystal ball, so they couldn't have known. But, yeah. I don't know if Hosmer. Actually, I don't know if Hosmer's on the other list either, but he may have been. He may have been. I don't think
it's
he was.
It's a real bad look.
What's a bad look?
Using lists from 2011.
Well, it's a bad look when you bring it up and start talking about it now. Now it's a bad look. It wasn't a bad look at the time. It was just, you know, something to have a conversation around. No one needed to know that I was using multiple lists. No one needed to know that.
2011.
Look, it was either that or tell you the name of this website that the newer list was from. That I think that would have gone over poorly at the time, so I just decided to find a more reputable source, and I found one from Bleacher Report.
You know, you could have just skipped it.
Skipped what?
The whole thing?
Story,
yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about greatest Royals players of all time. I was curious who you thought. You said
you could even
think you said Balboni.
You could have said, "Hey, the only list I have is from 2011, which wouldn't let's talk about what new guys would have made it."
Well,
and then we could have speculated that way instead of just saying, here's the list from Bleacher Report, and they didn't put Lorenzo Cain on it.
I threw that in the moment. So, you know, that was kind of last minute. I only decided to do that when I realized that the list I had wasn't great, and I thought I needed a reputable source here, so I just pulled that out. Anyhow, moving on. The news.
When's this from?
This is from sometime recently, I'm pretty sure. Trump says that he's not joking around about a third term. Now, they were asking minority leader, what's his name, Scalise? Is that how you say his name? And the Louisiana guy? They're asking him about it, and they were saying, hey, you know, what's this about Trump talking about a third term? And are you guys going to change the Constitution? Scalise's like, oh, you know, the president just says stuff. He just says stuff like Greenland and third terms and stuff like that. It just gets people talking, and then sometimes, you know, we can accomplish other things, but he just says stuff to get people talking. That's one of the things that he does. And they're like, yeah, but he says that he might want to run for a third term, and, you know, that would probably require amending the Constitution. You know, are you guys doing that? He's like, look, there's no plan to amend the Constitution, okay? Let's not worry about that. But then they get Trump on the phone, and they start talking to him. I think it was NBC News. And he says, yeah, no, I'm not joking around about a third
President
term.
President Trump is not ruling out the possibility of seeking a third term, even though it's prohibited by the Constitution's 22nd Amendment. But now, in an exclusive phone interview with NBC's Kristen Welker, he says that there are, quote, methods for doing so, and that a lot of people want me to do it. Asked to clarify, he said, I'm not joking. Asked about one possible method, Vice President J.D. Vance running for president and then passing the baton if he won, Trump responding, quote, well, that's one, but there are others, too.
Can you explain that one to me? So J.D. Vance runs,
well,
he
yeah,
wins, and then he passes the baton. Well, can Trump be his VP? Because they say, hey, look, the wording of the Constitution doesn't...
Yeah.
So he can't run for a third term. But he could...
He wouldn't be the president.
He'd be the running mate. He could be the vice president.
At least they talked about that. At least the idea was floated with Hillary that Bill would run as her VP.
Yeah, I remember people discussing that. I didn't know if that was allowed or not. I just remember people bringing it up, like, could he be a running mate? But I guess I never saw something where they said, actually, he could because there's
I think, you know, it was certainly discussed, like we are, like they're discussing it now. So I guess J.D. Vance could run. Trump could be the VP, and then J.D. Vance could step down, and Trump would take over.
Yeah. So but that's just one way, Trump says. There are other ways. I don't know. You know, you can imagine what some other ways are.
I don't know why I would step down if I'm J.D. Vance.
I know. Well, I don't know either, but maybe because you don't want Trump's loyal people who voted for him coming after you. I know. That's. I'm not saying that it would absolutely stop you, but would that be a motivator to know that a lot of the people who voted for you, potentially at least, weren't actually voting for you. They were voting for your running mate. I don't know. Yeah. If I were in that position and I thought I can win the presidency by having him as my running mate, I'd probably just keep the spot. Especially if I'm the kind of person who wants to be president to begin with. If you're already the kind of person in politics, you're already the vice president, right? You have aspirations. I'm sure you'd love to be president. So, yeah, why would a person like that hand it down? Now, if it was like his son And he said, I'm going to run for president.
But as a son, you'd probably be like, I'll be president. Like,
maybe, I mean, but maybe it's a better chance for James.
It's hard to win president.
Yeah.
And then just be like, yeah, good, I'll give it back to that guy.
Let me just hand it over.
I mean, I'm sure somebody would do it, so.
Yeah, somebody would. That's. I just don't know who the best person is for that, but yeah, so that's one way to do it. The other way to do it, as you already mentioned a little bit earlier, was you could just try to say, well, they weren't consecutive terms. And we think that this amendment is saying that you really aren't supposed to run these terms consecutively. That's what they meant. That's the spirit of the amendment, the spirit of the law. Or another thing you could do is just change the Constitution. You could amend the Constitution. And Trump's not opposed to that. He's already trying to change the Constitution for the birthright citizenship. That would require a major change to the Constitution. So he's not like someone who says, I'll never change the Constitution. The Constitution is this holy thing that can never be modified. He's talked about things that would require changing the Constitution. So maybe that's the easiest way to do it. I don't know. I don't know if you get a majority of Republicans to go along with it or not. I would think so, just because you get a majority of Republicans to go along with most of Trump's stuff now. Back in the early days of Trump, there were a lot of like never Trumper Republicans. These Republicans were like, you know, I don't love him. I'll wait to hear what he says. But eventually it felt like most of them fell in line.
We elect him, we get what we deserve.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. But now I feel like a lot of them are, all of them maybe are all in line. So if they wanted to, if they wanted to amend the Constitution,
well, I mean, I think you'd at least have the Republicans. No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice.
More than twice. Yeah, you'd have to say that it's the spirit of it and then try and come after me. Well, they're going to come after you. That's just it. But who comes after you? That's the other question. You take it to the Supreme Court.
Who?
Right? So you have the courts, which it would have to go through. It's not like you can, I don't know. I mean, it's you have a lot of power when you're president and you get to put all these people in place, all these leaders of all these different departments. So, yes, we do have this separation of power, but it doesn't mean that
no, of course.
He couldn't give it a shot and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what would the popular opinion on that be? Amongst people who are Republican or at least right of center, non-liberal, consider themselves somewhat conservative at the very least, or moderately conservative, then what do they think of the third term? Are they mostly okay with it? Mostly against it at this point? I really don't know. If you put out a poll, I would not know what to expect right now. If the majority of Republicans would say that they're open to it, or if the majority would say, no, we don't like that idea at all. I'm not sure. Speaking of Trump, though, Musk...
Well, this says, because of the ambiguity between the 22nd and the 12th, a two-term former president could possibly be elected vice president and then succeed to the presidency as a result of the incumbent's death, resignation, or removal from office. So...
And that seems to be the one they're talking about. That's why they brought it up. But then Trump is quick to say, you know, that's just one of
many other
many other choices. Elon Musk was in Wisconsin yesterday because of this Supreme Court race. There's a liberal person running for the court. And there's a conservative person running for the court. And Elon wants this conservative person. They say this will have a big impact on all kinds of stuff that the president would like to do, would like to accomplish. And, you know, how people end up voting, what kind of laws can be upheld in states like Wisconsin. So Elon was there doing his Elon thing, which is, you know, handing out money,
buying
right?
Votes.
I'll give you money. I'll give you money. They tried to stop this. Democrats tried to stop this and say, you know, once again, hey, look, he's buying votes. And the judges said, no, he's not buying votes. He's allowed to do it.
Musk and President Trump are backing the conservative candidate, Brad Schimmel, in his race against Susan Crawford, the liberal candidate. Several groups aligned with Democrats, though, have accused Musk of trying to buy the seat after the billionaire super PAC has offered $100 to Wisconsin voters to sign a petition to oppose so-called activist judges and said it would give away $1 million to two people who signed the petition.
So, you know, didn't he do this before? This isn't the first time he's done this.
Yeah, and
I don't think last time it was stopped. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they tried last time and the court said the same thing. Like, no, it's different. It's not exactly the same as going out and handing people money to vote. So, yeah, he's going to keep doing it. If they tell him that he's allowed to do it, he's going to keep doing it. We've had a lot of like air disasters or near-air disasters, it seems like, in the last couple of months. The Rock almost died? Oh, I didn't.
There was a story where The Rock said his plane, something happened with his plane, he almost died.
Oh, I didn't see that. When was that, this weekend?
I read it, yeah, over the weekend. Now, whether that happened this weekend, I don't know. It could have happened in 2011. Huh. But at least he was sure. talking
that
about it.
That happens to everybody, I get it.
He was talking about it this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can be confusing. Well, a fighter jet almost hit a Delta commercial flight at Reagan Airport. Once again, this is where the military helicopter hit that commercial flight a couple months ago and killed all those people. This time it was a near miss. I did listen to some of the air traffic control audio, and you can hear one of these pilots like, was there just someone underneath me like 100 feet or something? And you hear the guy going back, like, oh, yeah, there was. And I feel like the guy who's saying, yeah, there was someone, it's maybe his fault. I'm not positive, but I got the impression that he's like, yeah, sorry about that. But I guess these guys were flying out. They've got a huge problem with Reagan already being too busy and that there's too much military, like, that's the helicopter crash was obviously right. A military helicopter, and people asked the question, like, why are they flying out of the same airports? And there was talk of, like, we need to reduce that for sure. But these guys were getting ready to do a flyover for a ball game, so that's why they were flying out of this airport to begin with, and it just so happened that they almost hit someone.
This morning, investigators are looking into a close call between two planes near Washington's Reagan National Airport. It happened when a Delta Airbus that had just taken off flew dangerously close to a U.S. Air Force T-38 Talon. The FAA says was part of four planes participating in a flyover at nearby Arlington National Cemetery. The incident set off alarms in the cockpit of the passenger plane. Experts say the two aircraft should have never been that close.
Oh, yeah, it was a flyover at Arlington, not a ballgame, but they were doing a flyover. And so, you know, they say, well, it's, another one of these examples of that we're trying to use the airport for this stuff less, but takes a long time to get that stuff moved around. I mean, my thing is, if nobody actually crashed, this is a near miss. We've definitely always had the near misses. So whether or not there's been more issues with airplanes lately or not, right. We've been trying to decide. But the near miss thing, I know just because I have to look at the news every single morning when I get up, and there's every day a story about some sort of near miss. I feel like this one's bigger news because it is Reagan Airport. Right, sure. Again, it's a military aircraft, again, with this passenger jet. So, all right, we'll take a break, come back, and finish the news.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, do it, Hotshot.
Rest of the news. Well, Young Scooter. The popular hip-hop artist mm-hmm. from Atlanta. I don't know if he's popular or not. I don't know who he is. But he died on his 39th birthday. Mm-hmm. Police were responding to a call about possible gunfire and possible abuse against a woman at this house. Maybe someone would be
in. So middle-aged Scooter was causing problems?
Possibly. Sounds like there were some other people there. I gathered that they were together for his birthday, but I'm not exactly sure how many people were in the house, but there were people at the house. Sounded like there was a woman who may or may not have been being dragged around the house, and somebody called the cops, and there was also reports of gunfire. Cops show up. They try to make contact with young Scooter. You know, they probably want to meet him. And he runs. He runs away. And as he runs...
He didn't scoot away?
He didn't scoot away. No, he didn't even have the scooter. He just runs
that
on foot.
Sucks.
I know. Like, if you're going to go...
You're going to go. You're like young Scooter
you
trying to get away on a scooter.
Exactly. But instead, he runs on foot. Maybe he's got a scooter back there somewhere. You don't want people getting to. But he runs on foot from the police. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever run on foot from the police? Like,
yes.
When you were young? Me too.
Did
you
ever have not to, so young.
I was pretty young, I think. Like, probably, I was probably 17 or 18 when I ran from the police on foot. Like, when really we were sprinting. Everyone, I did it twice. Once, it doesn't count because it was like half the school was at the park. There was going to be a fight, and the cops showed up, and we all just sprinted. But one time, they did come to a house that I was at where we were having a get-together, and we all ran. And I had to jump a small fence, and then it was dark out, and we were in this field, and it kind of had tall grass. So I just decided to lay down in the grass, and it was like something out of a movie because I can hear the cops. You can see their flashlights, but you're just laying there hoping that they don't find you.
Did
and
they
you're
find
thinking,
you?
They did not.
Oh, nice.
They did not. Well, I laid there for a long time, and apparently some of my buddies were too, and made it back to the house. Some of the other friends who were at the house were like, oh, my God, we thought you guys got arrested. Where have you been? It's like, well, when there's cops out there, in the movies, like, okay, the coast is clear, let's go. But when it's happening, you're like, I should lay here a little bit longer because they may be having a discussion over there.
They probably are.
Right. I don't need them to see me now. So, yeah, but luckily I didn't hurt myself. Well, young Scooter, he runs and apparently has to jump a fence or a couple of fences. When the cops finally catch up with them, young Scooter is dying. Why is young Scooter dying? Well, he's injured himself. We believe that he injured himself from jumping the fence.
Ugh.
When the reports first came out that he died, they just said there's been no cause of death given. We don't know what's going on. A lot of people suspected maybe he was shot by police, something like that. Then the cops said, nope, Well, we didn't shoot at the suspect. So then people were really confused. But the police chief down there gave a press conference and discussed that, you know, look, we're still waiting the autopsy, but it looks like when he jumped over the fence, he may have fell and fractured his, you know, like leg, he says, or like femur. And that could have killed him. See, Snow Cone went to medical school. He knows why, Snow Cone?
Because if you nick your femoral artery, you bleed out
femoral
instantly.
Artery. If the bone breaks and it cuts the femoral artery,
yep.
You are
broken femurs
good
are
as dead.
Extremely dangerous.
It's rare, but it can happen. I heard a doctor
as
say
as officers
it.
Tried to make contact with anyone in the home.
Two males fled out of the rear of the house.
APD says one of those men was Kenneth Bailey, better known as rapper Young Scooter.
We know.
Lieutenant Smith says Bailey jumped two fences before officers caught up to him.
When officers located him, he appeared to have suffered an injury to his leg. This appears that there was, when he fell, some type of fracture, injuries to the leg.
Young Scooter didn't realize he's his 39th birthday. You know, you can't do the things at 39 that you could at 29. No matter how much you think you can, no matter how great a shape you're in, it's just not the same. And I don't think you would have broken your femur jumping those fences at 29. But at 39, you try and do it, and boom. And I just imagine he gets snagged or something, comes down the wrong way, and boom. I mean, it's got to be tough to break a femur.
That's a hard fall over a fence.
Yeah, I'm just trying to visualize what would have happened, like if he got snagged. And he had to have come down the wrong way, but maybe he literally just jumped it and came down too hard. You wouldn't think that that would snap your femur, but I guess if you landed on the side of your foot and you came down hard enough, like, it seems like all of the stars would have to align against you for that to happen, but it didn't. Now, they don't know for sure, but I heard them interview a doctor on the news, and he seemed smart, and he said, look, yeah, he probably broke his femur. And the way the police chief was talking, it was as if the cops had told him his leg was broken. We could tell, like, it was bad, it was gross. So, you know, if you are no longer 29 and you're thinking about running from the police, just be careful. Don't do hurdles, you know, you could die.
You gotta jump the fence. You gotta jump the fence.
I mean, what was the charge?
You can't just stay there. I mean, if you want to stay there, but if you're running from them,
it's hard to break your femur.
You're gonna have to jump over the fence.
But you say it's hard, but now I'm just thinking, for someone like me, it wouldn't be. If I could get over that fence, if it was a low enough fence that I could jump over it, I don't think it would be that crazy for me to break my femur. I just know what kind of shape I'm in. I know how I treat my body. Mm. And I think it's totally possible that I could break my femur. Like, is this something that happens in track and field? Is this like a rare freak thing where do kids die from this? They ever break their femur jumping a hurdle?
I don't know, though.
I suppose it could happen. I've just never heard of it. And I'm very curious, like, how he would have had to catch that thing to break his femur. The stock market has tariff fatigue. We're going to get big tariff announcements, let's say Monday, on Wednesday, I think, right? Trump's talking, we've got this 25% tariff on imported cars and imported car parts. So that's massive. They said the price of cars could start going up. They already said that price of a new house has already gone up about $10,000 on average because of some of the tariffs that are in place for steel and aluminum or whatever. But that, you know, he keeps going back and forth on kind of teasing, maybe not back and forth, but teasing what these different tariffs are going to be and which countries we're going to tariff. We're supposed to find out the rest of it. I think on Wednesday is the day that he's going to make this announcement, but the stock market, I guess, doesn't like it too much.
We've seen the markets reacting in anticipation of these tariffs, the Dow falling 700 points on Friday and a few hundred points further at the open this morning. We know that when these tariffs kick in, it's going to be a number of different industries. We're expecting price hikes almost immediately. Electronics, fresh produce, pharmaceuticals, clothing, footwear, and much more. And we could very well be in for another shaky week or a bumpy ride this week as we anticipate these tariffs and also the market jobs report, which is expected to be released at the end of the week.
Now, this story here is from about, they're calling it Liberation Day. That's what he's calling it.
We get liberated?
Yeah, he's calling it Liberation Day.
All right, good.
When he'll announce these. And here's a headline for you from an hour and a half ago. Wall Street swings again as the approach of Trump's Liberation Day wallops stock markets worldwide. So I guess they really started getting hit on Friday, and things have just been, as he said, a roller coaster. But Laszlo, it's important for people to remember, if you're about to retire and the stock market takes a big dump, that's no good. You may have to delay retirement, until it swings. But if you're not about to retire, take advantage of it. Go over to Wall Street Bets or whatever it's called and, start playing with the stock market a little bit. Buy some stuff. I mean, Tesla stock is way down. You could buy Tesla stock, and if he's able to recover that, you can make a lot of money. I mean, didn't they say, I think they said it was down.
Also, just if you have a 401k.
Right, that's what I mean really with stock market.
Right, but I mean, if you're just putting in, like, say, $400 a month or something, well, now it buys more.
Yeah.
So if it does rebound, I mean.
Or if you've only been putting in 1 or 2% and you haven't looked at it in a while, maybe now's the time to say, I'm going to up that. Because the market's down. I mean, I don't know how it works, but
I think. Neither. Sounds like
you bought.
I mean, I was a stockbroker for a little bit, but I don't know anything about it.
I just hear that, that rich guy, Scott Galloway, who's on TV all the time, talking about, you know, when things are bad.
The Kardashians?
I don't think so.
That's Scott Disick.
Scott Disick. Now, this guy's some sort of professor of, like, economics. You know, he teaches people how to get rich. But he always says, when things get bad, it's a great time for people to invest. Great time. And if there's an actual recession, you know, instead of being woe is me, try and look at the bright side, which is maybe if you're able to keep your job, maybe you could buy a house. If you want to buy a house and you haven't been able to, you know, there are good things. We have to stay positive.
I'm with you.
And I think, you know, this tariff stuff with the 25% on all the parts and everything else. I mean, is he really going to?
All right. So this is all I know. And this is a focus group of one.
Okay.
Well, I have a buddy who's buying a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he called a guy and said, hey, I want to buy this new car, but get it ordered before these tariffs go in.
Okay.
And the guy who owns the dealership was like, dude, come on. Like, you liberals are all the same. Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, your car's not going to go up in price, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's always the sky is falling, you're going to be sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Calls him back, I think, last week and was like, good thing you ordered it, man, because that, you were right, those stairs, the car would be $5,000 more
already
next month. Yeah.
Wow. I've seen some interviews.
So, I don't know if that's true or not. Like I said, I'm not buying a new car, so I have no idea. Just one person told me that.
No, there was a thing on Fox Business, right? Isn't that a thing? Fox's business channel? Fox,
sure.
It's their CNBC. There, I saw a segment on Fox Business, and they were interviewing the owner of some dealerships, and I think he was in the Detroit area, but I'm not positive about that, but I got the impression he was in Michigan. But they were talking to this owner of these dealerships, and that, you know, what do you think of these tariffs? And he's like, it's going to suck. You know, the prices are going to go way up. It means that people can't, a lot of people won't be able to afford to buy.
They're already so expensive.
I mean, that's what he said. And we can stockpile so many, try and buy a bunch of, get a bunch of extra inventory onto our lots, but you can only do really about a month. So if these tariffs stay in place, once that supply is gone, then, you know, the prices will continue to rise and we'll sell fewer cars. And you could tell that back in the studio, they were upset by that answer. Like, come on, you know. Yeah, basically the same kind of thing, like, you're liberal, whatever. And it's like, I'm not so sure that guy's liberal. I don't know. I think he just is personally going to be affected by these tariffs. What's interesting to me is that with all these tariffs, I look at, like, this Liberation Day they're talking about, you know, trying to look at countries we have the biggest trade deficits with and try. And during COVID, we did have a huge problem where we couldn't get stuff because we get everything from China, right?
Right, yeah.
And we realized that, we go, okay, we need to start making some stuff here, like semiconductors and
other things. We're talking about that for sure.
Yeah, and Biden passed the big spending bill so that we could make semiconductors here. And they said that we've decreased that deficit and we're making more stuff here. It's just interesting to me because I could see a lot of liberals for a lot of years arguing for things like big tariffs against these countries to help fight this, you know, these trade deficits.
And to make manufacturing jobs here.
Yeah, help create more manufacturing jobs, keep the ones that we've got at the very least, those sorts of things. I feel like growing up, most of my life, that was a very sort of Democrat thing to threaten tariffs. Now, it turned out that Gore and Clinton decided to do NAFTA, which sort of, that kind of changed things a little bit. Right. Like, we're going to open up all of North America, you know, Mexico, the United States, and Canada. We're going to open this up.
I just love, you know, like, it doesn't matter. We'll get it on our Twitch, you know, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. You get it on Reddit and Facebook, and it's just like everything else, man. It's like Wednesday happens, and every person I know will be a macroeconomic expert on the effects of tariffs. Right. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt
like,
it.
Like, I really don't know. Like, okay.
I'm interested in what an economist has to say.
Right. Me too. Legal professionals, but you hear from both sides.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, we'll find out.
Yep. And I am interested to hear what the people who are directly affected by it, like owners of car dealerships and things like that, what do they think about it? But yeah, I don't pretend to know whether it's good or bad. And I know what liberals say. And
let's just go to 84-month loans.
Yeah, I think.
Right?
I think
like it used to be a 4-year loan already. Now it's like a 6-year loan.
8-year loans have become somewhat common.
Let us go to 8-year loans and the price will be the same.
I know. I wouldn't be shocked if we're at 10 years.
Right.
I mean, looking at how expensive cars are now, what's the average price of a new car in the United States? Well, every time I go to check that, it's gone up more.
Right.
But last time I checked, where were we at? Were we at like $40,000, something crazy?
Gotta be.
I mean, just a few years back, not that long ago, if you told me that price, I would have thought, well, it must be like a pretty really nice Lexus car, or something. Yeah. I know I'm getting older, but still, seems like a lot of money.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, so fat shaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you think this is fair, but like I said, I was never overweight, but when I was in high school, I got horrible acne. Like,
right.
Like going to the doctor, really, really bad stuff. And I know that when I saw television shows, Family Guy, you know, something like that, and they were making fun of the pimple-faced kid, I felt it a little bit.
Sure,
like,
of course.
That's me.
It stings.
It does sting, and I thought, yeah, I know that's what people think about me, and that's what people say, and I, you know. But with that, I was always kind of told, like, you'll outgrow it. You'll outgrow it. So it's okay because you'll outgrow it. And with weight loss, I read this whole thing actually earlier today about from like Psychology Today about why we're okay with fat shaming. I don't have time to get into all of it. But it comes down to this idea that like people think you can diet your way out of being overweight.
Sure.
You know, oh, well, it's a choice.
It's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice. And, you know, this is America. And they said thinness is tied to, like, the vision of American hard work and individualism and all that. And so it's kind of entrenched in our society that we have this sizeism or fatism or whatever you call it. Now, look, these two guys may be friends. And maybe this was planned. I don't know. But RFK was doing a press conference with the governor of West Virginia. And I'm guessing you've never heard of Governor Morrissey before, but you can look him up.
Morrissey?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Go on.
Governor Morrissey, Patrick Morrissey, West Virginia. They were doing some things. You know, RFK doesn't like certain food dyes. I don't keep up with the different colors and stuff that they're trying to get rid of. And I think the governor agreed with some of that. The governor's also proposed getting rid of pop, you know, making pop eligible for WIC or food stamps. That's been a big debate there. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is trying that in Arkansas, too. So if you have WIC, you wouldn't be able to buy soft drinks anymore. So he and RFK share some values in this stuff, I guess. So anyway, they're doing this press conference, and Morrissey gets up and introduces RFK. And then RFK comes up, says hello, and shortly after he says hello, he starts talking about meeting Governor Morrissey and what he thought of him at first.
I got to know Governor Morrissey early in the transition. We were both down in Palm Beach working on the transition in Mar-a-Lago, and we were both...
RFK is becoming a woman, by the way, if you didn't know. That's why he's talking about the transition.
I was invited to stay during that time at Dr. Oz's house, and I got to know, I said to Dr. Morris...
Oh, just think about this for a second. He's getting to know him during the transition, and so we got to stay at Dr. Oz's house. So now Dr. Oz's house,
and I got to know, I said to Dr. Morris, or Governor Morrissey, the first time I saw him, I said, you look like you ate Governor Morrissey.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of talk about getting healthy again, and I'm very happy that he's invited me to be his personal trainer.
Oh, God.
And I am going to put him... I'm going to put him on a really rigorous regimen. And we're going to put him on a carnivore diet. We're going to make him do... Raise your hand if you want Governor Morrissey to do a public weigh-in once a month. And then when he's lost 30 pounds, I'm going to come back to the state and do a celebration and a public weigh-in with him.
Okay, so one of the things people online who were defending this said was, Governor Morrissey didn't look like he was upset.
Right.
And I thought, well, what is he supposed to do? You know, and I read...
But if they're friends, I mean, that didn't sound... It wasn't like he was making fun of someone he didn't know.
I get it. But I can only relate this to, again, taking me back to high school with the acne. My friends did bust my balls for that sometimes. And it wasn't in front of... It wasn't at a press conference. But it did hurt. And of course I laughed about it. You know,
of course.
Ha, ha, ha. But just this idea that because Governor Morrissey didn't start crying, then it must not bother him. And I saw these experts, you know, supposed experts, discussing it on USA Today and other places, talking about it's still fat shaming. And there's a very good chance, they said, more likely than not, that it was tough for Governor Morrissey to hear that laughter.
Of course.
And to, but he's probably somewhat used to it. And he's,
of
other
course.
People have certainly, almost certainly, fat shamed him in the past because this is
I've
America.
I've never seen the guy before.
And I hadn't either. I hadn't either. But
big
you know,
dude?
I mean, sort of, I guess. And I don't know, like, did he used to be bigger? He's not like this huge guy. I would say he's heavy set. Is how I'd describe him. Governor Patrick Morrissey is his name. Anyhow, then he goes on, RFK goes on to say, we're going to do this weigh-in, which isn't that what they do on Biggest Loser? That sounds like that reality show. We're going to bring you up here once a month, and we're going to have a public right. weigh-in in front of everybody.
I mean, yeah.
You're about to say that it sounds like they're buddies or whatever.
No, I'm with you, but I'm also like, you know, there's no need for it.
There's just no need for
like,
it.
That's, you know,
not political here, just saying generally speaking. I don't care if he's left, right, whatever.
Right, no.
Just, it's more fat-shaming being accepted as...
Yeah, I mean, we talk about how we want to get rid of bullies, but we're all bullies.
Us, and especially
you know what I mean? Like, you see it, and you're like, okay... Well, you know, then, you know, I mean, if you approve of this, then you approve a kid saying it to your kid.
And they talked about
right?
that.
Right? You okay with that?
That even if
and
the
even if your kid's not overweight, maybe he's uncoordinated.
Mm-hmm.
He's not an athlete. Are you all right with it? To be like, well, I don't know, you know, do more exercises. You'd be better at sports, dork.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you all right with that? Like,
right.
you know, probably not. I'm guessing you're not.
And that's why
I'm
I say
you're not. And you can say, like, well, that's a choice.
Right.
They don't practice.
Right. You're not
right?
trying.
What about you all right with, you know, people making fun of poor people? I mean,
right.
to me, that's a direct analogy. You could be like, those are the choices you made.
You could get out of that.
You made those. I tell you how you get out of it. You work harder. Work harder. Go to work. Work harder. Save your money. You're poor.
Yeah,
it disgusts
it.
Me.
Fix.
And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put your bank account up here for everybody to see.
Yes.
And then we're going to take another look at it in 30 days. And we're going to then directly correlate that to how many hours you worked.
Yeah.
And we'll do it every week. We'll do it every week. And we'll put it up here, Governor.
Everyone join us.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be his financial
advisor. See how it goes next month.
Right.
I mean, like, nobody, everybody would be like, what the...
Oh, exactly.
Right.
That's even if you're a huge supporter of his, you'd be like, "What was that? I think he's losing it."
Right.
And what about the kid who sees this? And maybe I'm being too sensitive, but I take it back to the skin thing. That's when I can relate to the kids who are overweight. It doesn't have to be kid. I mean anybody, but kids included, because kids are who we say we're always trying to protect,
sure.
supposedly. So these kids who are a little bit overweight and they see that, they hear that. It's
uh-huh.
just another. Example, another time that they have to hear people laughing at someone
sure.
at someone's expense because of their weight.
Right.
And they just go, yeah, this is acceptable. Yeah, this is acceptable.
Of course.
And I really think it goes back to, and like I said, that psychology article was saying that it really does go back to people thinking that it's always a choice.
Right.
No, you could diet your way out of this.
Right.
The thing that gets me is it possible for these overweight people to get skinny? Okay, for a lot of them, yes. You know, I would say almost without exception, it's
sure.
possible. The thing that gets me, though, is I don't think people understand that there could be another guy who's 6'2 and 42 years old, just like me.
Yeah.
We could eat the exact same thing, day in and day out, at the same time of day, and we would be different sizes because of our
course.
Genetics. I have dogs. I have a tiny dog and a big dog.
Right.
You know, I, when my dog was sick, I told you that analogy because she was very thin. I fed her twice as much food. She was half the size of my big
right,
dog.
Sure.
But my big dog maintained his big dog weight. That's what he is. People call him fat, you know, and he,
right.
and he kind of is. But he's not eating too much. He's
right.
a lot. He was eating less, and I watched it. It was like a little science experiment in my own house. Look at this smaller dog eating twice as much as the supposed fat dog, you know?
Right.
It's
I mean,
genetic.
I got more exercise.
Right. Yes, maybe. But it is genetic. And whether
yeah,
and I'm
to
not
some
saying
degree.
That it
I mean,
means
right.
that you can't lose weight.
Of course
I'm saying
you
that,
can. And it is to a degree of choice. Like, you know,
sure.
you have to own it. Like, it is. But, you know, those choices can be made from anywhere. That's the same thing. Like, using that same analogy, then you'd be like, oh, but being poor.
Exactly.
Like, no, it's the same thing. Yes,
it
there's
the
there can be outside reasons why you're not monetarily successful.
Exactly.
The same thing with why you're not physically fit, right? Like, those could be the, you know, maybe even the same things.
Yes.
Right? But there are outside forces that dictate that. Could you change it? Sure.
Sure.
You could.
Yeah.
You know, you could.
It's possible, of course.
Right.
And
probably more than likely.
Yes, really? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, of course.
More than possible. Probable.
Probable, yes.
Yeah. If you put the work in for either one of those things, it is probable. If not, well, I would say more than probable. It should be
possible.
You would see results. They may not be the same results that somebody else would get who ate better and went to the gym all the time. You would see results.
Yes.
And the same thing as if you worked harder, if you took on an extra job.
Yes.
Saved money.
Saved more.
Were smart about it. Made better decisions with the money that you did have. You would be more financially successful. That's just a fact.
Yes.
Right? And you would be in better shape if you worked at it.
Right. But it's a good analogy because people don't do it about the money.
Right.
Very weird. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, for some people, food is the thing that makes them feel good. Some people, when they feel anxious, their brain says, I want food. Sure. I'm feeling anxious. I'm sad. I want food. I don't have that. Now, to me, that's in a way genetic, right? Because the way that I interact with food is different than other people. I don't have a desire to eat a bunch of food like some people do.
Sure.
So what I don't like is when someone, I don't know RFK's whole story, but I really don't like when someone who's maybe never struggled with their weight starts fat shaming people. If you are someone who used to be seriously overweight and then you lost a ton of weight by working out or whatever, I guess maybe you're in a position that if you must, then you can say something. But for the people who never struggled with weight, they act like it's
really
so easy.
I think most of the people who were overweight and then work at it, and really work at it, mm-hmm. I'm probably not making fun of fat
That's
people.
What I think.
I think they're probably trying to lend a helping hand. Like, yo, man, I got you. I think that's probably, you know, in any sort of situation that you've seen, those people are usually less, let's make fun of someone, as opposed to, hey, let's try to motivate them
right.
to be better.
Right.
You know, but let's not.
Would Richard Simmons tell those jokes?
Exactly. Like,
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Right.
Hard for me to imagine Richard Simmons getting up there saying, you look like you ate this guy. I mean, I think you're right. Those people would know better than to do that.
Right.
But in my mind, they're the only ones who possibly have.
And it's the same, by the way, I think it's the same thing. I mean, just scroll through Instagram. You see it. Those dudes who are jacked, they're not making fun of people.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, let me tell you how you do this, man. It's not easy. But this is what you're going to do. You're going to eat this. You're going to eat this. You're going to eat this. You're going to work out. I think it's the same thing. By the way, the next thing on Instagram would be like, yo, I was dead ass broke. And here's what I did. I thought about killing myself so my kids could get the insurance money. And here's what I did. I did this. I did this. I did. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes, exactly. And the desire to make fun of fat people comes from the fact that I think it is the lowest hanging fruit. Because if you are not overweight, then you automatically can go, there's something.
Right.
There's something
you're
I'm allowed to make fun of. I can be condescending because look at that fat F, right? He must be lazy. He must overeat. He must not know that he's eating. He must not
even know.
How do
you feel like it if you walk by him and you said, yeah, that guy's fat? And he walked by him and like, yeah, at least I'm not poor.
Right.
Well, I'm fat because I can afford to eat, you poor piece of S, right? Like, yeah. I mean, people be like, God damn, don't say that.
No, right? Exactly. Yeah, we've made no progress. In the 20-plus years I've known you, there's been so much that has changed.
Right, yeah.
So much progress. The fat-shaming thing hasn't moved an inch.
No.
Not
mm-mm.
an inch.
The Church of Laszlo.
I told you earlier, I forgot to tell you about this. I want you to be aware, in case you're ever taking a road trip, I know you and the boys drive cross country to go to ball games and stuff like that. So if you're ever in Idaho, you probably need to stop at the border
and
take those truck nuts off your car.
Oh.
Because now you could be in a lot of trouble. The governor there signed a bill into law that criminalized.
Truck nuts were obscene. Is that what he said?
Pretty much. Well, because they specifically banned it. It sounded like this whole thing was done to prevent.
What about your mud flat vaginas that you use?
Wouldn't be able to. Yep, those would be in trouble.
The vaginas are gone too?
No vaginas. No breasts. This is really what it seems like it's about, is no breasts.
Truck.
They don't. Yeah, exactly.
It's also what they call Snow Cone's mom.
She's on my mud flaps. Those vaginas are modeled after hers on my mud flaps.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's several things at the sex shop that.
We got it.
That they modeled hers at. It's a nice. You know, it was, at least. I haven't seen it in a second, but anyhow, this bill in Idaho, they wanted to prevent women
seen one
from showing
the mud flaps or
her vagina in person. Oh. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
I haven't.
Okay, so we banned these truck nuts.
Why? It's hard to get. She won't answer the phone when I call. She doesn't respond to text. Yeah. So this bill is supposed to criminalize. supposed to criminalize public exposure
right
press.
Now, but yeah. No, we got it.
She's not as hot as she used to be.
Oh, nobody.
I'm just saying that.
Nobody is.
That's true. That's
still not enough.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, it's just she's changed a lot. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyhow, House Bill 270.
Well, let's not vagina shame her.
I'm not. Her vagina looks great.
Okay.
It's her face. Like, she just looks older.
God, I hate you.
Oh, God. Something about her hair and her face. But no, her vagina looks the same. Last time I saw it. Anyhow, House Bill 270. This is an indecent exposure law. They wanted to stop women from showing their breasts. I don't know if there's much women in Idaho walking around topless, but they don't want that happening. So in order to be fair, they say, okay, this is going to ban public exposure of, you know, female breast, but it's also going to ban public exposure of male junk and female junk, you know, vaginas
testes
and penises and
no
all that.
No penises either.
So I guess you also can't have stickers or models or whatever on your car or on your shirt.
You can still have the dude peeing on
if his wiener isn't showing. You got to erase the wiener.
I don't think they have the wiener.
I don't think they do either. Yeah, he's got his back to you.
Calvin, I read this bill.
Yeah, Calvin, I didn't see anything in this bill about butts, but I did read there's several things in this bill.
I've also heard an argument about this bill saying, well, it could penalize people who put certain things on their trailer hitches. I don't think we need to go into that, but there's certain things people put on their trucks that look like part of a male anatomy.
They call them truck nuts.
I just like her jumping in. That's Brian Linney. He's a senator in Idaho. But the governor signed this thing. So if you go there, don't show your female breasts, okay?
Okay.
Don't show your vagina. Do not show your penis. But also, male breasts are not allowed to be shown if they're male breasts that have been altered to look like female breasts.
Oh, I see. They have to be altered, though.
Well, that's what it says. If they've been altered to...
Right. I mean, but what about male breasts that just look like
exactly
female breasts? Those are fine.
I guess so. But what if they look like female breasts and I haven't done anything to alter them, but I start pushing them up like this and going, now am I in trouble? You know what I mean? What does altered mean? We know what they mean.
If you do that again, you should be assassinated.
Why, you didn't like that?
No, not at all.
Just imagine I've got breasts.
I know. I'm uncomfortable with
that. What made you uncomfortable is because you had a moment, didn't you? And then you got angry at me. You lashed out at me because you saw it in your head. You saw breasts on me. And you thought, damn.
I don't know.
If he was here with breasts, if I came in here tomorrow with breasts, you'd have a tough time. I show my cleavage all the time. I think you'd like it.
Okay.
I think you would. I think eventually you'd like it. All right, what if I put on a wig and covered up my face and you could just see my cleavage?
I'll cover up your whole face?
I'll cover up my whole face. I'll put on a nice blonde wig. I'll cover up my whole face. You can't see it. And all you can see is my cleavage showing.
Sure.
Then I could do the show like that with a mask on?
I wish you'd cover your face now.
Okay. Figured that was coming.
The Church of Laszlo.
So the times are a change in Laszlo.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I know. And I saw this multiple places. The first place I saw it was the Atlantic. I must have been over there because of all that signal stuff last week. But I see this headline, The End of Hooters. And I was like, wait, what is going on with Hooters? And this guy from the Atlantic, he talks about, you know, when he was young, going, it's pretty funny because it sounds exactly like my story. He said when he was, I think he said 11 or 12, he went to Hooters for the first time. He said his mom would not be seen dead in a Hooters, but his friend's parents didn't seem to have the same reservations, which is exactly what happened to me.
My mom didn't care about going to Hooters.
See, and I had friends whose parents were fine with it. My parents, we weren't going to Hooters. I thought for the longest time that they were, like, naked in there. I didn't know what was going on in there. I saw Hooters, I figured it was a strip club or something. I really did, like a big strip club chain. I thought that way too long, because we did not go into one. But then my friend's parents took me to one about the same age this guy was. He talks about the server coming over the table and how he made sure not to make eye contact with her or look at her shirt, because he didn't want to be creepy. You know, he's a kid. He doesn't know what to do. And he said the funniest thing is that his friend's dad knew the girl's name, which is super funny. But I had a very similar experience. Like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm in this place. And then when I was old enough, you know, to work and pay for stuff and go wherever the hell I want, I went to Hooters all the time. I went to Hooters when you and I first started working here. Like, those first few years, I was going to Hooters once a week out in Independence. We would do trivia. And if you won, you got free wings next week. Yeah. And we won a lot. So we always got these free wings, and so we just go to Hooters. And I guess, according to this article, Hooters really was peaking around 2011 or 12. At that point in time, they had 430 locations around the world. And, you know, the company's huge. They built that casino in Vegas.
Yeah, an airline.
Had an airline, exactly. It felt like they really could do no wrong. There's so many imitators. Some of them just, and I think I can talk about one of them because I think it's gone, but you guys don't remember Show Me's, but we used to go to this place called Show Me's. It was just like Hooters. The only difference was they wore blue shorts. Blazo, I'm telling you, the uniform was identical except for the blue shorts that I recall, where the white tank top.
Did they make wings?
Yep. The inside of the restaurant looked like you were inside of Hooters. I couldn't tell the difference. Except they had blue shorts on. Yeah.
What about the,
like a blue logo, like Show Me's.
Chairs, were they blue or were they orange?
It was the benches. It was the wooden, you know, like stool benches and everything. It really looked just like a Hooters. It might have been an old Hooters that turned into this restaurant. I'm not sure. But I remember looking up at the time, and there were a few of them. But there's been lots of restaurants over the years. Probably some I haven't even heard of. I think I've been to all of them. You know, I'm pretty sure at some point. The first time I went to a Tilted Kilt was when I was in Wichita.
Right.
Because at the time, we didn't have one here yet.
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks I've been to many times.
Mm-hmm.
Many times.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. The one I used to go to closed, I think. But there's still a couple around. There's one right over here somewhere, but where we work, right? Not too far away.
Yeah.
And one by the airport, for sure. I know there's one by the airport. Anyhow, Hooters is like the, you know, the I don't know if it's matriarchal or patriarchal. They're the parent in the room. It's like, okay, you're mimicking us, but we're the one.
Well, I remember, you know, so living in Florida,
the home.
That's the first Hooters that I would go to. And then when I moved back to the Midwest and went into Hooters, I'm like, all right, this ain't the same.
Well, that's interesting
it's
you bring
not
that
the
up.
Same.
They mentioned
it's
that.
It's not the same.
The owner, the CEO of this company that started Hooters and still owns quite a few locations was saying that if you go into a Hooters in, like, Clearwater, mm-hmm. he said you can see moms eating with their kids. Like, they don't have the issues. He's like, you go to the Midwest, and those same moms are, I don't go into Hooters.
Right.
There's a difference. And he said, it's also.
And the girls are different.
And that can
they
be
are,
true.
I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, the girls are different. It's almost like it's a quality status to work in Hooters in South Florida.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like a badge. Like, where do you work? I work at Hooters.
It's like the Hard Rock,
right,
the original.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And
she's hot. She works at Hooters.
There's not the stigma that there is around the Midwest. And so he said, look, you know, these restaurants, we kind of for years ran them the same, but maybe they should have been run differently. Maybe we shouldn't have done the same things in, let's say, Kansas City, as an example, that we did in Clearwater. But anyway, now he is changing the restaurants, Lazo, and they're calling it the re-Hooterization.
What are they going to do to it?
So it sounds like they're going to do a lot. You know, once a week, the girls put on bikinis. You have bikini nights or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I don't think they do that here, do they?
I've never heard of that.
Do they not do it here?
I don't think they do.
Well, I get the restaurants mixed up in my head. One of them, I recall them being in bikini tops sometimes. That could have been one of the others. But they said that's a weekly thing. Maybe they don't do it here. Maybe they've already decided a long time ago we won't do the same things in the Midwest. But they're getting rid of that, and it sounds to me like what he's going to do is change the branding quite a bit. Because what he wants is, he mentions this in an article talking about the ability for a kid to have a birthday party there and for it not to be weird for the parents.
And by somebody called Hooters?
He didn't say anything about changing the name yet, which to me it's like, you know, that's where a lot of people get hung up, you know?
Right.
I think a lot of moms see Hooters.
And plus they'll already think what it is. I don't know how much you can change the brand to within a short amount of time, moms being like, yeah, let's have birthday parties there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm confused by it a little bit because he talks about getting rid of, you know, how the girls wear bikinis. He's like, that's not the kind of place that screams happy ninth birthday, Jimmy. So I got the impression that he does want a place that screams happy ninth birthday, Jimmy. But I don't know. He said, you know, they want it to be a place where a family looking to celebrate a special occasion, you know, like a fast casual restaurant, feels comfortable going in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like there's going to be big, big changes and that they are going to remove some of the sexuality that's associated with Hooters. Now, you know, so far he talked about getting rid of the bikinis, but it sounds like there's other things that will be changed. Toning down the overt sexuality. I mean, how do you tone down the overt sexuality and still be Hooters? Hooters, to me, the name of your restaurant is overt. You've got big signs that say Hooters. That is overt. It's what got people's attention in the first place. It's what brought people into the restaurant in the first place. It's overt sexuality. If you tone down the overt sexuality, What are you left with? What's to distinguish Hooters then from a Chili's? And I'm being serious. Like, if there's cute girls that work at Chili's, I presume. There were cute girls that worked at Applebee's with me. So if you're toning down the overt sexuality, then what? And he even says in the interview, he knows that people, you know, weren't coming there for the wings. Now, I know Lazo disagrees.
I love their wings. I do. I think they're great.
Or maybe he said they're not coming just for the wings. But, you know, something along those lines. Like, he knew that it was this overt sexuality. Like
they are my favorite wings.
I
think they're great.
Like I said, I went there every week to try and win more free wings. So I must have liked them. But, yeah, I do like them. But I get what he's saying. Maybe that's not what brings you in the door the first time. But if you're going to turn down the overt sexuality.
But there's probably so much competition with wings, and people could have different opinions on who their favorite wings
are. Sure, of course. And I've heard plenty of people say, oh,
like,
the
there was a time when they were also the wing place. Yeah. So you had hot chicks and wings.
That
and
was
cold beer. Like,
cold beer, wings.
Now it's like, now there's cold beer and wings everywhere.
Now we have the peanut.
Right. Yep. And Buffalo Wild Wings.
Exactly.
And there's a million different
Wingstop.
Places. Johnny's. Like, right? I mean, there's.
Yeah,
you know,
and a lot of restaurants, not just national chains, but a lot of bar, casual grill and bar restaurants decided to implement this idea of having hot girls in skimpy clothing serve you. I've been to regular college bars where the girls show up, they're wearing short shorts and they've got a bikini, and then maybe they've got like a little tiny short sleeve shirt already that's opened up so you can see the bikini. I mean, all of that, I think, is thanks to Hooters. You know, I'm sure someone was doing it first, but this idea of like bringing it into the mainstream and just being
that overt. So now what are they going to do to it?
Well, he says he's getting rid of the overt, toning down the overt sexuality. Well, we don't know. If he's going to make it a place that screams happy ninth birthday, Jimmy, then what's left? If you're going to change the uniforms, making it a sports bar.
That's what you're making it. You're making it
a sports bar. And I don't know that that's the key to success. If I were an advisor, I would say ramp up the overt sexuality.
Yeah, just go all out.
Go all out. You've already gotten around they do employ males now as servers, I think, at some of them.
No, I've never seen it. I've heard it a million times.
A
guy sued for that, but I've never seen, no dude has ever waited on it.
I saw one. Now, look, I don't know
how pissed would you be?
I know.
It just hasn't happened, though. Like, to me, it's one of those things that you read about, but it's never really happened in practice. No dude has ever come up to me in a Hooters saying, "I take your order."
Job? Can you imagine, like, every table you go up to, they're disappointed.
I saw one.
You're not going to make any money,
right?
I saw one at Legends, and I thought to myself, I wonder if they ask you when you go in, you know, do you
like they did like the masseuse,
like the masseuse, right? Like, what do they do? I mean, he had to be a server because he was wearing like a similar kind of outfit. He had a white tee. The guys who work there normally, they've got the jeans on and they've got a lanyard hanging around their neck, whatever.
And I got a white Hooters tee.
Yeah, this guy was in the in shorts. And he had the, and I was like, oh, that's right. They started hiring guys there.
Shorts.
Like short shorts. Like kind of like the Hooters shorts. Yeah.
Right. I've never seen it.
He could have been a host. You know what I mean? Like I said, he didn't serve me, so I don't know. But I had heard that they started hiring guys, so I was like, oh, I guess maybe. I don't know. And I don't know whether that continued to be a thing or not. Hooters got in trouble for a long time. I say got in trouble. Complaints. And Hooters always said, no, we're hiring entertainers. They are entertainers.
But I've never seen it.
And that's how they got around it, was saying they're entertainers. So if they're already entertainers, you have that figured out. You've had it figured out for years. Ramp up the over-sexuality.
They hire guys that just worked in their kitchen.
Right, exactly. There would be some guys on the floor, but like Laz was said, you know, they might be wearing a white T-shirt. But
well, then you were always in the kitchen.
There was
I've never seen a Hooters do.
Dishwasher, busser,
always
whatever.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, of course. If they walked out to the hostess desk, they went right back
to the kitchen.
To the bar or the kitchen. So I don't know if there's dudes serving there or not. To be honest, I haven't gone in a while, which is, you know, I guess I'm part of the problem.
Right.
But ramp up the overt sexuality. That's my advice to you. You know?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're not going to just change it all to be a different name and call it a sports bar, then you're not going to get you're not going to get what I think you're looking for here.
Right.
You're not going to be Hooters and then just have the girls wear jeans and T-shirts and have moms then be like, well, let's take Johnny to Hooters for birthday.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not going to happen. So just own it.
I know. I mean, they've had the kids menu for a while. You took your kids there, right? You've been into Hooters with your boys before?
They never want to go.
Well, I could see it being weird going with your dad.
I'm like, dude, let's go to Hooters.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they'll go into Buffalo Wild Wings. They'll be like, you know, it's a wait or whatever. Or, you know, except the last time. Let me give credit where credit's due. The service at Buffalo Wild Wings in my neighborhood is horrific.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit down and you just wait forever.
You're like,
it's just brutal. So if you're, like, in a hurry at all, you can't go. Now, sometimes we'll go and I'll just say, you know, hey, we like Buffalo Wild Wings, just know we're going to be here for a while. And everybody's okay with it, right? Let's get a good seat by the TV and whatever, because service is just going to be miserable.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, well, we want wings. Let's go to Hooters. And they're always like, yeah, I don't want to go. I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, I don't know how you get rid of that stigma. That's a stigma.
But I know my oldest goes by himself.
Exactly. Of course he does. That's when I started going.
With his buddies.
I had a car, and I was like, let's go to Hooters. Yeah. We went to Hooters all the time.
He's at a certain age where he doesn't want to go with his dad, maybe?
I think they never think wanted to go, even the younger one. Like, but I think they think it's... I think he would probably go with me now. I think they thought, like Slim did, like, oh, it's like a sex bar.
Well, that too, yeah.
Right, I think they didn't have a concept of what it was. They were just like, oh, look, there's boobs, right?
But they could also be uncomfortable that a hot girl with big boobs is coming up to wait on the table, and obviously she's... She's dressed up for you to look at her. You know, actually, being awkward
same
with
as
your
watching
dad.
Watching a sex scene with your dad. You know,
No.
But I mean,
no.
but it's.
But you might be like, I don't want to talk about chicks with my dad. I don't know. It just depends on the relationship.
Two worlds together, yeah.
But talking about trying to make it more PG and that they've had.
I have
this
a buddy of mine
that
took his kid out there all the time. Even when they were little. And, you know, never had an issue. So.
I've seen little kids in there before.
Me too.
I mean, like I said, they've had a kids menu for a long time. People say
it's really just. I mean, I don't know. It's girls in shorts with. White t-shirts. Like,
that's what it is. Yeah.
That's really not that big of a deal.
It's really not. No. Now, if they made it a bigger deal, since they've already got the stigma and they're already having problems.
Right, then own it.
Then my solution would be the opposite of what they're saying, which is trying to tone everything down and get rid of skimpy outfits. Don't do that. Ramp it up. I'd be interested if I start hearing about how, whoa, things have gotten crazy at Hooters.
Yeah, I don't know what they could do to ramp it up, but... More bikini nights, stuff like that.
Yeah, they could have a stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have the girls dance on the tables, like Coyote, whatever that place is. I mean, like, you could do more stuff. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, and keep the bikini nights. Make every night a bikini night. And make every night a wet bikini night. Bikini's getting dry. Let the guy at the table throw some more water on it. Make sure that your bikini's wet.
I like that.
I'll keep coming up with ideas.
I like that.
The Church of Laszlo.
Did you find a new show to watch yet?
The new season of Bosch's came out.
Oh, I saw that advertised. So are you knee-deep in Bosch now?
I watched the first four.
Excellent.
I'm all caught up. They're releasing four at a time. Nice. Although I did hear a crazy thing about why they did it. So there was this whole article that I read. And you know how we've talked about how Netflix cancels shows and then these other ones, they cancel shows even though they're doing pretty well and people like them. And there's been all these different theories, right? But I finally found one that made sense. So, with Bosch, they had this show, and it ran for seven seasons. And it was Amazon's most popular show. And not only that, they used it to promote their freebie, whatever apps they were trying to get started. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, if you want to watch Bosch, you got to watch it on freebie or whatever, right? So, trying to get people there. Well, they said after the seventh season... of Bosch, they were like, all right, we're going to go and do Bosch Legacy.
And same guy.
He's still the star of it. Still a lot of the same characters, just not all of them. And he's no longer a cop. He's a private eye.
Oh, okay.
But he still talks to all the cops. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Really, except for arresting him, he kind of shoots him and kills him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really it. But he's still investigating all these big things. They said one of the guys who was in Bosch, the original one, said that they did it so that when they sign contracts in season three, right, they sign it for as long as Bosch is a TV show, I'm on it, and I make this much money.
Yeah.
So after the seventh season, they're like, somebody's like, look, man, we're paying these guys too much money. There's too many characters. Axe it. Call it Bosch Legacy. Make him a PI, not a cop, and these guys don't get new contracts, and we can do it with five people instead of the 17 that we've accumulated over seven seasons.
Oh.
We don't have to pay these guys. So now, after this one, they're canceling this, and there is a lady investigator.
Okay.
They're going to pick that up, and it's going to be about her.
Okay.
And then they said after that, they'll go back and do another detective, and they'll just keep doing it so they don't have to pay these actors. I was like, well, now it makes sense.
Interesting.
Now I get it. Why you do it.
Huh. Interesting. I know it's... I heard Jack Reacher is really popular, too, for Prime. Prime has had a lot. Maybe not the most, but in my mind, it feels like the most original series that got canceled after a season. Prime had so many shows, and if you go back and look at all the original series, there's so many you forget about, Peripheral, and just endless series after series, and a lot of them only ever got one season. So, you know, if you see a show on Prime that gets multiple seasons, I've heard that their most popular shows, Lazo, is the one that you like, The Boys. That's one,
great.
But it's not all theirs. I guess it's like a co-production with Sony or something, but that's one of the most popular shows.
You know, I read a thing about that, too. Seth Rogen said when that comic book first came out, they bought the rights to it.
Okay.
So Seth Rogen's company was like, we're going to do The Boys. It's going to be great. And they went and pitched it to Sony or
Sony,
something, right?
I think they worked for Sony.
And Sony was like, yes, this is great. We're going to do it, but not with you.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why it was...
I thought he did it.
Seth bought it 10 years ago.
Oh.
They said, and I had all these different people that they were going to do it and come in with
one
it. And eventually
deals.
They were like, look, we don't know what to do with it. And so they gave it back to Seth, and that's when he took it to Amazon.
Okay.
That's crazy, though, right? They're like, yeah, we're going to do it. It's right. A great idea, but just not with you, Seth.
It's ours.
Right.
Yeah.
So they bought it, and 10 years later, they gave it back to him.
Okay.
And that's where it is now.
Oh, his show should be starting this week, too, right?
I saw a preview for it.
Yeah, I think it starts tomorrow. I thought it said April something, but maybe it's out.
I think if
it's not already out, it comes out this week. I'm excited about that, too. I'm almost out of Peaky Blinders, so maybe I'll start watching Bosch after this.
Well, you got like 10 seasons.
I know. So. That was the great thing about Peaky Blinders, like all these seasons, but every season is like 6 episodes, which is kind of nice.
Right.
Because you can binge a season in a couple days, but you run through the whole series pretty fast, so I need something new. Between Bosch and Jack Ryan, I don't Bosch
Jack
seems
Reacher?
Way.
Yeah, the
Jack
studio
Reacher.
Is out.
The studio is out now. Yeah, I feel like Bosch looks like the one that I and I like that he's a private eye now. That really intrigued me. Now
I will say that if you haven't seen Bosch, you know what I'm talking about. It's a show on Amazon. It's fine. I'm not going to tell you it's the greatest show ever, but it is interesting, and you will find yourself Googling places in L.A.
Okay.
And I've seen people talk about it, that it really is kind of a love letter to L.A. They in all the restaurants, you know, all Dan Tana's, the stuff that you've been to
real.
Before, the oldest restaurant in Hollywood, all of those things, they actually film it inside.
That's cool.
They go
okay, now I'm really
outside
intrigued.
Of it. You know, they go to, like, bars, you know, in Compton. Those bars, and they're jazz bars, and they exist. You can Google them. You can look at them. They have Yelp reviews. Like, everything about it
that's really cool.
Is real. So, and I heard, which I would do, apparently if you go to Hollywood, there's a place where you can go on the Bosch tour.
Oh, no
and
kidding?
And they'll take you to all the places that they show you that they show him going to. And his house is killer. You can look up at his house. His house is one of those stilt houses that overlooks the city in Hollywood, and you see it from the... Yeah. Unbelievable.
Now I'm very intrigued. Yeah,
see?
I'll watch that
there
next.
You know, all right. A good show, Bosch. Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.